This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Yo, D.I., did you check out any of the games on the NFL this weekend?
Oh, hell yeah. Yo, football is back. And we're back to seeing Mahomes slinging beautiful balls all over the field. Your friends at Manscaped are here to help you sling your beautiful balls all season long. With Manscaped's state-of-the-art tech, we'll have your weapon looking more loaded than the AFC West. Football may be rough,
tremendous,
but your ball care doesn't have to be with Manscaped. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100. Meet the best valued bundle yet for the Manscaped Pocket Rockets, the Platinum Package. At quarterback, the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, a wily vet who makes sure the unit is running smooth and scoring nonstop. With proprietary advanced skin safe technology, the lawnmower limits mistakes and protects the ball. Plus, it's waterproof, so the weather conditions are no issue, like the Bears and 49ers were this past week. At running back, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, built to bust through all the right holes. A hairless nostril just helps to keep a nose for the end zone. On the offensive line, we have our unsung heroes, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reliever Ball Toner, the Trent Williams and Corey Linsley of sack protection, standing strong to keep your boys fresh and clean through all four quarters. At wideout, the cleanest duo in the league, the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner. With their rugged scent, they attract both the ball and the ladies in the crowd. Plus, these two leave your skin and scalp feeling more hydrated. That means more plays on the field and less water breaks. At tight end, the product that makes your end look tight, Manscaped's anti-chafing boxer briefs. A dedicated jewel pouch to increase ball handling, a cool, steady vibe thanks to their moisture-wicking fabric. On defense, there's only one thing you need, the aluminum-free ultra-premium deodorant. You could use that, Joe. With refined cologne-quality fragrance, it keeps sweat and locker room scents from making any ground. Plus, it dries clear, so the opponent won't even know what hit him. And to top it all off, we throw the best coach in the league, the Shed Travel Bag, my favorite, as a free bonus. Built to hold the team together, this travel size bag has a fumble-resistant zipper. This has got to be a Super Bowl-winning roster, but don't take my word for it. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped when you use the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-E-A-P-E-D.com for turning your player into an MVP.
And the great thing about this is the shaver is aerodynamic. The boxers are 100%. We all agree on this. The most comfortable boxers that we've ever worn. They've got a leather pouch, not some cheap pleather. And you can use it. Now, they're saying it's just for your nether regions, but you can use it under your arms, your chest, you know, your face, your head. Women can use it. So this is a great product. It's our best-selling product. And it brings, you know, anti-chafing, deodorant, you know, nose trimmer, ear trimmer. It's really a hell of a deal.
Let's not understate that Manscaped Weed Whacker to take care of your nose and ear hair, because there's not a bigger turnoff for a potential partner than your nose hair sticking out in their face. So take care of that.
Yeah, from Mr. Groom himself.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah, very, very unkempt individual. You could probably use it more. Sure. But anyways, I will say this. This is our best-selling product. Support the show. Check it out. Keep your shit clean and trim and groomed. And you can get it all at manscaped.com. Boom.
Let's get to the letters.
All right.
Okay. The first one's from Luke Smith.
The Australian.
Yeah. The subject is Raw thoughts. A lot of the Mexican talent good spots on Raw last week. Rey and Kane, Huberto get a match against Rollins, Andrade and Sin Cara. What are your thoughts on this week's show? I enjoyed Flair's promo, still one of the greats in the mic even at his age, and even though a lot of people hate the angle, I enjoyed seeing Rusev and Lashley get into it, and keen to see their match when it happens. Thanks, Luke Smith.
I didn't see the show last week, I think. Did Kane and... I did, right?
Kane came out and attacked Shelton Benjamin last week on Monday, anyway.
Right, but it says that Rusev and... Did he say Rusev and Lashley got into it?
Yeah, he said that he's looking forward to their match, even though people are hating the angle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I don't know. Obviously, I like the Rey Kane thing. I like the Umberto getting it. It's good to have, you know, Latino talent that's good on the air. You know, wasn't anything super impressive. I thought, you know, Kane's punches looked weak. It's always fun to watch Flair. Yeah, so I agree with everything he said.
Cool. All right, the next one's from Andre Stokes. The subject is Luger's screams. Hello, K100 crew. I want to get your thoughts on Lex Luger's awkward screams after every move, big or small. Whenever he was either on offense or defense, he always had, at least in WCW, scream louder than the fans. As a child, I always laughed at this, and my friends and I would wrestle on a makeshift ring with hoses for ropes on mattresses in the basement. It's like you, Joe.
Exactly.
Whoever chose to be Lex Luger would do the funny screams after every move. I still laugh at the Lex Luger selling compilations on YouTube. Check it out when you get a chance. Was he ever roasted backstage for this? P.S. Disco going in the WWE Hall of Fame would be a major stain on the great D.I.'s world-class reputation. He doesn't need the WWE Hall of Fame. The WWE Hall of Fame needs him. Gilberti 2020, and he spelled Gilberti wrong with only one T.
All right.
Okay, so... that was just his gimmick. It reminded me of like when the women tennis players like scream after every shot. You know, yeah. I don't think it bother him. I don't think, but it didn't bother me. It's part of the deal. Wrestling's a fight. What's supposed to be quiet? Like, how many quiet fighters are out there? You know.
Hang on. Do you want to see a compilation of it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's about it, but...
All right.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Captivating. All right. The next one's from Adam R. The subject is letting your horses run. Did Bischoff even get a fair shake? Seems it would take a little time to make some changes without pissing everybody off from the get-go. Could it really be due to a drop in viewership from the initial Fox airing to the next week's show? Isn't that the par for the course? Lapsed fan shows up to watch every time they have legends show up, then the last fan usually doesn't stick around in the following weeks to come because they've fallen for this tactic before, and though the following week shows won't have legends and will again be the same type of show that they're stopped watching. Seems Bischoff would never get a chance to hit a stride out of the gate.
Well, the SmackDown from Friday had to air on FS1. It was preempted for something. I guess it was baseball. And it only did about 800,000 viewers. So who's going to take – is everyone going to take the fall every time the numbers suck? Because that's what everyone's saying.
But they knew that. I mean, the number is a wash on FS1. That's not like, you know, it's on a different channel. So I don't know.
I guess what people.
No, he did. I don't know. I don't know the story there. I don't know exactly why he got let go. So I can't really. I don't want to comment and speculate and stuff. I don't.
I mean, Eric is known to rub people the wrong way. You know, I mean, he could have, like, I've heard stories about how people said they're gonna quit if he didn't. I could definitely see Eric. Here's what I can see with Eric. I can see Eric with his style, and people know his political leanings, that in this millennial culture, the wrestlers these days, that Eric would rub them the wrong way. Do you agree with that?
I just think that Eric is wiser, and he knows at this stage of his life to be getting this opportunity to be get paid that much money, he's not going to find it again probably. And so he was probably going to go in there and play it smart and play it safe. So I don't think he would have done anything like that. I just think it was more like one of two things must have happened. Either they needed somebody's head to roll for the viewership,
yeah,
or maybe when he got in there, he wasn't that in tune to the product. I mean, let's think about it. Eric last booked in Impact, like, in what year, Joe?
They got in there in 2010. They were gone about 20. I guess Eric probably wrapped up by 2013 or something like that. So,
okay, still 6 years is still a long time because there's a lot of things that have changed in 6 years and personnel. I don't know if maybe he wasn't in tune with the product anymore. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just like you.
The reports,
I'm sure, find out.
The reports,
yeah, what are the
were
reports?
Exactly that he wasn't familiar with a lot of the talent, that you couldn't find him. Say he wasn't around a lot when they needed him for meetings, and there would be the old, if you needed Eric after 7 o'clock at night, he turned his fucking phone off. He went home and had
right.
dinner and shit like that.
Two and three are huge no-nos,
yeah,
in
so
that position.
He went home and shut the phone off. My day's over, and it's like,
yeah, no, your day's not over.
Yeah.
yeah, I could see him getting heat over that.
All right, the next letter is from Joe Troller.
Early
subject
this week.
Subject is Cody Rhodes putting himself over.
First of all, let me anytime he comes on.
He doesn't bury you on this, though.
Still, which, that's for past stuff.
He wants to come that's on a round table or something. I think he
well,
knows.
Tell, is he on Patreon?
I don't know. I don't see him on there unless.
Well, he's got to get on Patreon.
He's yeah, come exactly. on the round table.
So
well,
he knows.
Should make him pay to send his emails in if he's just going to bury Conan.
That's true.
What's up, Disco? Got a question for you about the most recent Dynamite show. So on this show, once again, it revolved around shit-faced Cody Rhodes, and he booked himself into being this badass tough guy who punched through glass and started a big brawl so that he and his pathetic loser Mark fanbase can pinch their helmets all the way home. So my question is, Disco, why isn't Cody Rhodes getting any heat for constantly booking himself to go over and be a top guy in AEW, yet Triple H got buried by everyone for doing the exact same thing? Also, Disco, get a new recording system because it sounds like you're talking while Nia Jax is sitting on your face. Creative control daily for life in capital letters. You put at the end. Did you guys do that, Conan?
That please? Is
yep.
That is true.
Suspiciously, I'm going to make a comment about this. Okay.
Right.
Let me read you a text from Joe.
Right.
Me?
Yeah, from you.
Oh.
Okay. A text from Joe.
I don't know. I don't think we should be out in personal texts on the air. I mean, that's.
I do.
Before.
this is where is Joe here? Joe and Conan. How can we take? Oh, here we go. You're at the top. That's stupid. All right. So Joe. All right. The text from Joe. This is Wednesday, 12:34 p.m. Huh. Let me see when the date of this tweet is. It's on Thursday, October 24th, 2019. This is from Wednesday from Joe Feeney. Can you switch back to your other headset next week? That's a text from Joe.
Well, there was some people mentioning it on Twitter.
Well, it's very interesting that Joe Troller, in an email,
right,
is pointing something out that Joe Feeney tweeted me, okay, during the week, similar to about the identical situation. The first name of each guy is Joe, all right, Joe Troller and Joe Feeney.
Yeah.
He tweets at the end of this, creative control daily for life.
That's suspicious.
Conan, would a reasonable person, okay, think that Joe Feeney might be Joe Troller?
1,000%, especially since the guy always attacked me, which Joe secretly wants to do. If he knows he attacks me publicly,
right.
I'm going to roast. Yeah.
Yeah, kazoo Joe Feeney and Joe Troller.
Yeah, right?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So,
kazoo.
Now.
Great job, bro.
But now we really have to put it out there for Joe Troller to come on a roundtable and get on video so that I can stop being accused of being behind the Joe Troller account. Now I need him to come save me.
He hasn't come on yet.
That's true.
Joe Troller and Joe Feeney have never been seen in the same place at the same time. Until that happens, I'm going to have to assume that you're Joe Troll.
Right. And two Damn things it. Can be happening. He may get a patsy, tremendous word, to fill in for Joe Troller, and it's still him, okay? Or number two,
So like Tony Clifton.
Wait a
second. Something like
that. What about this? What about the possibility that because Joe Feeney does not want to be compromised through basically like internet sleuthing and Anon's getting involved and trying to maybe have his emails hacked, you know, try to find out. What if Joe Feeney's dad
is Joe Troller?
Assuming the Joe Troller, yeah.
That could happen. They could happen. They go to wrestling shows together.
You would never use language like that.
I'm going to go forward with there's a 50% chance minimum that Joe Troller is Joe Feeney.
1,000, wow.
All right. So let's answer the question. Why is Cody Rhodes not getting any heat for booking himself like Triple H? Because that's, I mean, it's plain as day. Everybody wants the AEW to succeed. So the wrestling media guys are not going to be critical of him. You know, they're just not going to do it so far.
It sticks out to me for sure. I mean, you know? Not in a good way. He's the first title challenger on the first pay-per-view since they're on TV. That is a little Triple H-ish. The shit he was getting buried for.
It absolutely is. Like all the vignette on the first week show was all about him. In ring segment promo on the show was him. Yeah, he's not. He's booking himself strong. He can't. I mean, even he would admit that he's getting. But like, so you know, I'm not gonna. Here's the thing: if he's booking himself strong, but he's doing well.
Yeah.
Like if it's not like a guy booking himself and the guy's bombing.
Right.
His TV stuff has been good so far.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna criticize him.
Let me say two things about that. Number one is if they're not bored about this because the show just started. They've only been on like a month or something. If this is a pattern for years, they're gonna get the same backlash that Triple H did. That's number one. Number two, when they sat down in a room with Tony Khan, because you know they all have like decisions, but at the end it's like Cody and Tony. I can tell, right?
Right.
You know, Tony decided this is the guy I want to go with, you know, as my top star. And the one thing that we got to give him credit for, everything he's done so far, people have loved, and it's looked very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to criticize that. Because here's the thing. I think they know they have a lot of green guys.
Right.
And since they're just starting, they don't want to put guys like, you don't want to give an in-ring, like a five-minute in-ring promo.
Right.
On your show to somebody that's never done it before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not critical of that at all.
And they're doing the very smart thing that they never did in WCW. And you have to agree with this, D.I. You know, the fact that they're giving guys like Sammy Guevara and, you know, other guys a rub.
Absolutely.
Private Party got a big rub that one week.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, so I'm not going to be critical of that. If let me tell you something. If the show's all about him 6 months from now, but it wouldn't even come from me.
Right.
Wrestling fans are very fickle. They'll notice and they'll start talking about it. Yeah. So I'm not.
I think in a few months they'll have jumped to Cody versus MJF and Jericho and Moxley. Let's say
there's nothing wrong with Cody booking himself if the stuff's been good. You know.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one is from Jacob Hay. And the subject is question for the mailbag. Hello and greetings to the good people keeping 100 from Israel.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is a little
Shalom.
This is a little long, but I saw that it was an international listener. So
And we love our international fans because our international fans are not your American smart marks. All right. They're international fans. So I love my international fans.
Right.
Hello, and a question for the mailbag. Hello and greetings to the good people keeping 100 from Israel. The beast from the The beast from the Middle East and the self-proclaimed enforcer of the four horse marks here, Jacob Hay.
Okay, wait one second. Jacob Hay doesn't sound like an Israeli name, but it doesn't matter if you're international or not. If you say JoJo shit on the air like you just did, the beast from the Middle East, was that the first one?
The beast from the Middle East and the self-proclaimed enforcer of the four horse marks.
You see what happened here. There?
Well, the Philadelphia chapter is led by Joe, but here you go.
Now, you see what happened there, D.I.?
Let me tell you what he does here. He immediately... I think he knows he was going to get a kazoo from you.
Right.
And maybe he's hoping I would read this next one first.
Right.
I've got a couple of questions for the living legend and one of the biggest draws ever, Conan.
Yeah, we can't argue
with that. Yo, K-Dog, what do you think about the upcoming Combatus Americas involving Tito Ortiz versus Alberto El Patron? From various promos I've seen, they're doing that for that tired-ass angle of Tito the Trump-loving Yankee versus Alberto the wall-jumping-loving super Mexican.
Jesus.
It seems corny as hell with them coming out with their old championship belts with the USC and WWE and cutting half-ass politically-oriented promos. Anyway, I know Alberto can beat in MMA. Do you believe that Alberto can do real damage to a legend like Tito in an MMA fight or actually beat him in one? I'm not really acquainted with Combate Americas, but I understand it's a Latino audience-oriented company. Does this fight get any mainstream attention in Mexico or the Latino community in the U.S. at all? And another question for both DI and Conan. With Brock working Kane in WWE and CM Punk getting his ass demolished in UFC in recent times, it seems like a new trend of MMA and wrestlers working together in the U.S. Not since Shamrock and Severn in the 90s, we've seen big MMA names doing business and wrestling promotions and vice versa. What do you think of the chance that this new renaissance of crossover events involving MMA fighters and wrestlers could play a major role in the future of wrestling? Thanks in advance for the insight, and okay, dog, maybe the NWO was for life, but the MWO is forever. And we're coming for you, Vato.
Jesus. Well, only a Mark would say that, especially a Mark from Israel.
Yeah.
Here's what I gotta say.
He's tarnished the image of the international listeners for sure.
Tito Ortiz against Alberto de El Patron is not going to get a lot of interest in the actual shoot MMA community, so that's why they're coming out with their old championship belts in the U.S. to try to draw wrestling fans. That's what they're trying to do. So I don't criticize that at all. Here's the open thing: when you're having two guys are going to fight each other and they're getting paid, and if somebody's promoting it, you want to get as many fans as possible come watch it.
And now you got to find something to draw them in. Because the fight itself may not draw them in. Now you got to get, okay, you're Mexican, I'm U.S. You know, the Mexican president's coming. He invited Trump, you know.
WWE belt. Every promotional tactic you could use to draw as many fans as you can is the gloves are off on this. Obviously you can do it.
So then Tito's kind of jumping off of Colby's gimmick then.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
speaking of that, let me show you something here.
But he's doing it to an audience that actually really does hate Trump.
Yeah,
you know, which is the Mexican
audience. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's a good heat.
Yeah.
The next thing is we had a discussion. If you listen, we have more discussion this week with Daniel Cormier.
Yes.
We discuss the fusion of MMA and wrestling and how it pertains. And so we've answered that. Just listen to our discussion with Daniel from last week and this week, and we will answer that question.
People were very happy with that segment.
What do you say, Joe?
I'm at my mom's house.
People were really happy with me a segment week one. A lot of people really seemed to dig it. There's a lot of good feedback about that. So
yeah, they like me too. So I'm at my mom's house. I want to show you some of the items that my mom has on her computer desk. Okay.
All right.
So let me show you here. This is one of them. Oh. You're gonna be very interested in this. Okay, here's one of them. That's a Disco Inferno action figure.
Right.
What does it say there in the back?
Shake your booty.
Okay. My mom also has the WCW Matchbox car.
Oh, they're still for sale.
Okay. Right. And this is very interesting. Speaking of what we just talked about, this is also on my mom's shelf at home.
Oh, man. Come on.
Bro, what do you think about that? here's
my mom.
Okay, I want to ask people out there, all right? How would you feel, okay, if the Disco figure and the Trump figure had a tag match against the Cody Rhodes figure and the Seth Rollins figure? Would our fans be interested in that, with me promoting a match? And then afterwards, fig bathing all of the action figures. Would that be something that everybody would be interested in?
I think it should be,
Can I book the other
guy? Cody Rhodes and Bernie Sanders against you and Trump. With Giuliani a special ref.
No, AOC or Andrew Yang and Cody Rhodes. Yes. They've been tweeting like this for AEW,
And AOC does have a action figure coming out. So it's perfect. Really? Yeah.
Oh, my God. The next one's from Mike Gilbert. Subject is Tessa Blanchard, intergender wrestling. Greetings, K100 crew. This is Mike Gilbert from Vandenberg Air Force Base, California. First off, let me say that I've been a day one listener, and the show has gotten even better since your move to the MLW Network. And Mr. Joe Finney III is probably the best podcast producer in the world right now.
Well, thank you, Mike Gilbert.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on the growth potential of intergender wrestling. I personally am not a big fan of intergender matches, and it's weird seeing dudes punch and kick chicks in the face in the spirit of competition. But with that said, Tessa Blanchard seems like she fits right in with the guys when she was wrestling, and my original discomfort with the style go away when she's in there. Her match with Sami Callihan at Slammiversary was incredible, and she was great in the ladder match at Bound for Glory. My question is, could you see Tessa Blanchard as the Impact World Champ, and would Conan book a female world champ at AAA? Do intergender matches hurt sponsorship potential? Thanks, and fuck Kevin Gill. Fuck him and his stupid hunchback Mr. Burns-looking ass.
Whoa. He does kind of walk
I'll just
over.
Say this. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about intergender wrestling. The devil's in the details, okay? And Tessa, the reason they're doing this with Tessa is because her work looks so much like a guy and is so solid that it works. The only problem is it's a very slippery slope over the course of time where enough of people might start saying, hey, I get it, but this is kind of ridiculous. So it can't be. The intergender stuff is an attraction to me. But if we start just taking the girls and sticking them with the guys on a regular basis on every show, it's not going to work. I think most of us would probably agree with that. But if you can find the girls that can pull it off, and like she's pulled it off every time, you know. But like I don't think other girls.
Okay, let me tell you because I've been way.
Yeah. We're taking the best women's wrestler there is,
right,
and doing it with her, right? So that's the gimmick. She's literally the best female worker in the business. Would you agree with that,
Tessa?
Yep.
Yeah, because she looks like she's good enough to work with the guys. I mean, how many other girls are good like that? You know. Yeah.
Well, they've never given Charlotte a chance to try to work with the guys. You never know. It could be very good if she did it too.
She's in her league, you know. Tessa, for Charlotte, sure. You know, they're in the same league.
Do you think Ty could get in there and mix it up? I mean, she probably has in Mexico.
1,000%.
Right?
Here's the thing: it just depends on the way you look at professional wrestling and where your suspension disbelief lies. I still think that this is the only problem. Okay, professional wrestling is not the movies. Okay, it's a different genre. It's live action. It's not film. It's not like it's not CGI. It's not special effects. In the movies, especially in the Marvel and DC comics, we accept the women characters fighting against the male characters because they have okay. And professional wrestling, these are just human beings. All right. So if you can get the suspension disbelief that you have in the movies when you see the female superheroes fighting the male superheroes, if you can get the wrestlers, the wrestling fans, in that same mindset for a live wrestling show, it could work. But to be perfectly honest, there's not enough girls that are good enough, have good enough work to do it. There's only a couple, which is why they're really only doing it with the one. You know, so we can't expand intergender wrestling into just having the girls work with the guys because it's going to corrupt the suspension disbelief. But you can do it in the movies, which is why they may think they can do it in wrestling. But on a limited basis, it's worked. You know, I mean, it gets a pop because, you know, if you start shitting on it, you can keep trying it, but you don't want to go too far with it because, like, ultimately you'll look and you'll watch and your numbers are going down each week. You know, like if you start doing too much, that's what will happen. What do you think?
Yeah. So the guy I worked for, who was probably the best boss I ever had, one of the smartest guys I've ever met in this business, really a visionary because he came up with the minis concept. He came up with so many things, including the intergender match, which was Antonio Pena. And so when he first started, it was more like a special attraction kind of comedy type thing. But the way I use it is you got to be smart about your booking. You got to put in the right woman with the right men because at the beginning, the women couldn't keep up with the men. And what happened is, and you see it in MMA. If you remember, I'm sure it was the first time you saw a woman in MMA. It certainly was the first time I did, was when like Gina Carano came out in Strike Force, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you think back then there was only one real woman that had any name or any skills and it was her. Okay. Now you fast forward how many years and you look at how many women are on a higher level, you know what I'm saying, in UFC, you know, same thing in wrestling. Right now there's a lot of women you can put in with men and they can have good matches, but it has to be booked correctly. So as you say, it looks real. And for example, one of the problems I had when I was in Lucha Underground is they wanted to do intergender matches without understanding it. And they once had a match between... Do you remember Rick, Big Rick, the guy that used to be in Reich? What's his name? He was in WWE?
Yeah.
Okay. They had a match between he's legit got to be 6'6", 300 and something pounds, just massive. All right. He was in the ring with Sexy Star, who's got to be 5'2", you know, 115. Mm-hmm. All right. And they were going to try to make this believable, which there's really no way you can, mm-hmm. you know. And so things like that make intergender wrestling look bad. And that's a straight shot at you. What's that guy's name that came up with the idea? Big Dick Dudley or whatever his name was. Chris Joseph. That was one. Yeah. And
he was Ezekiel Jackson in WWE, right?
Yeah, you know what, though?
Yeah, wait a minute. So, but when you put in the right women, like we have a girl, we have several girls right now that are as tough as the guys in Mexico because they've been training since they were 14, okay, with men, and now they're like 22, 23. And, bro, they can go in there and kick ass with just about any guy, and I've got about four of those. And there was one girl right now who just got pregnant who I was going to give a title to. Not the main title, but I was going to give it one of the secondary titles. And this year was the first time in 27 years we had a woman in a main event. They were with men, too. It was actually an intergender main event. It was like Psycho Clown, Taya, and I forgot who else. And it was like a Yako Hamada. I forgot who else it was, but it was the first time they'd ever been there. It was the first time we ever had a woman in a men's faction, this girl called Yedra, who's the daughter of Sangre Chicana. She's one of these girls that started at 14. She's 22. Anyways, at the end of the day, if booked correctly, it's you can do it, you know.
Well, and then plus two, let's not forget that Lucha Underground is shot like a film. A movie. It's like a show of a wrestling show. So you can you can do that. But I'm gonna bring this up. This is another point which kind of like lends the it kind of adds to the credibility and your suspension of belief that it can actually happen. You watch CM Punk fight in the UFC, okay? And if you asked anybody, like if you were to say, who would you take CM Punk versus Cyborg? You would have a decent percentage of people that would probably say like Cyborg would probably beat him.
Right.
You know, because she looks like that. She looks like an ass kicker. And
especially a young Cyborg.
Right. So you could, that's a question you could throw in there. It's like, okay, can this work? And because Cyborg looks like she could kick CM Punk's ass. You know, I don't know. It's just, like I said, it just has to be, it's very difficult to book because there's a lot of details.
Right.
That you have to do to make it embarrass the business. You know, the exact, what else we got here? This one's from Mark. Subject is oversaturation equals ratings decline. Hola, Superior One and others. Being as you are a man with a heart of gold and a body like granite, I appreciate the opportunity bestowed on to me that you continue to read my emails on your top-notch podcast. I think he's talking to me.
Yeah.
Do you think that the oversaturation of wrestling?
Well, I think when it said superior one, since you've renamed yourself that, it was you.
That this is me asking this question.
You think this? No. This is the guy. He's talking to you. You go. I think this is me. I think we got it when he said superior one. Since you've renamed yourself, go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think that the oversaturation of wrestling products on TV/YouTube is directly to blame for the recent drop off of ratings across the board? Mm. The first week all the show was on, there was record ratings for all shows. Several weeks later, it seems like everyone has chosen what shows they will be committed to, and the same 3 to 4 million overall viewers are now spread thinly over 6 different shows. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, NWA, Impact. Keep up the great work, and JoJo, keep up the good work. Thanks for the memories. Oh, this is Cousin Marky Mark. Marky Mark on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. I was just thinking about this yesterday. Wrestling hasn't drawn any new fans yet. So, yes, there is a little bit of oversaturation. And until one of these shows starts drawing new fans and starts getting, you'll see. I don't know. Here's the thing: if the shows are good, the wrestling fans that are in this bubble that watch the shows will watch all the shows. Okay, I don't think they're skipping. But if some of the shows are not good, those are the fans of shows will be skipping.
Yeah, but it's weird because I'll tell you, I think it's because the show, you know, the main show has not been good, and that affects everything, right?
It does,
because then the other thing is because if you watch Impact, that show's great, okay? Mm-hmm. But nobody could find it before, so you know, nobody knew about it. Now on Access, I don't know how much more homes that's in. Is that in your home? Is that do you get Access, Disco?
I get on Hulu.
I have. Do you? I've always had it, yeah.
All right. That show is real good. And if you watch Court Show, MLW, that show is real good too.
On BN.
But they're on like, yeah. And then, and it's only an hour. And they, but they're on real small networks. I just think the fact that WWE's product is so bad, you know, and they, and yeah, they're the one, and you know, that's what's
really hurt. They're the flagship of the business.
Right.
Yeah. And like somebody thinks Monday Night Raw, you know, that's right, like, that's the main show that everybody gravitates to. Right. Right.
And SmackDown ain't much better. NXT is good. You know, not that many people.
Because here's what happens. And this is true, okay? Because of social media interactions, everything, a lot of fans, when they don't watch wrestling, they don't engage on social media as much about wrestling as they do when they do watch, right? So when you have the main show, which draws the most fans, it hasn't been good. And, like, you're not getting casual fans to watch. And getting the casual fans to watch on a weekly basis, in this day and age of professional wrestling, you're kind of engaging on social media, too. Like, going in forums, look what we're talking about the show, maybe respond on Twitter. So, and when you do that, you're engaging with all the other products, too. And maybe you're starting to, like, watch other products and stuff because, like, you're engaged in wrestling again because you're watching every week instead of the, yeah, it's definitely – you. Literally, that's a good point, that the viewership on Raw drives the business, basically. Because, like, if more people are watching, the more – and they'll start watching more wrestling, you know? I think that's a good point. Do you agree?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to just real quick, when it comes to oversaturation, like for me, I probably have a couple to 3 hours to watch wrestling a week. That's just all I have, or it's probably all I'd want to watch anyway. So I've been watching AEW and I've been watching NWA. I haven't watched any WWE, and now with Impact coming out, when this airs, it'll have come out on Tuesday, the first new show on Access. I want to watch that, but what's that going to bump? Or maybe I won't like it enough to bump something else. But you know, when there's people outside of the bubble, like you said, the eye, or people that don't make a point to watch everything and they have a certain amount of time to use, that's going to hurt viewership across all the shows.
Yeah.
I mean, hypothetically.
Yeah.
1,000% oversaturation of anything is not good.
The next is from Hughie. All
right.
Okay. You know what? I was saying? I kind of defended this guy a little bit against your slanderous attacks against him, Conan. But the subject is Kevin Nash versus AEW Marks. The first two sentences here, I'm going to retract my praise for Hughie. Okay?
Right.
Here's the first two sentences. Hey, guys. My name is Disco Inferno in Icewall Oakham.
What?
So any...
Wait. What does that even mean?
Icewall Oakham?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't get it.
So anyway, a few days ago... the great Kevin Nash, who, like me, is taller and more jacked than Disco, plus we're both NWO members.
Being an NWO fluff boy doesn't actually make you a member, but here you go.
Went on Twitter to point that the brawl that ended the last AEW Dynamite episode maybe wasn't the greatest brawl of all time. So, of course, the AEW fat marks with their girly voices and fat bodies and fake Twitter followers and man tits went crazy on Nash.
You mean so like my you?
No. So my
Not
question
like him.
Was like, yeah. So my question, was Nash correct in his criticism of AEW? Also, do you think that AEW marks are the worst marks out there? I mean, why can't they just accept that maybe someone just doesn't like the product? P.S. Joe and Conan, tell Daniel Cormier that Disco was talking shit about him.
That's not accurate.
I'm going to give four Pinocchios. I'm giving four Pinocchios to Hughie's email here. Did you read the stuff where Nash was going back and forth with where Nash tweeted at Cody?
Yeah.
The attention's in the devil's in the details. So, yeah, basically, Nash was ripping the details in that angle. Like, if Jericho bought a ticket, how does he have a mic? He was being like, he was just saying, like, you guys need to pay attention to the details, right? So, of course, the AEW marks, everybody was like ripping Nash. And then Nash said that.
Well, let me just say real quick, what initially started was kind of it was a minute detail where how did Jericho get a microphone in the box if he was talking shit about a company VP? Wouldn't Cody just shut the mic off? And that was kind of Nash's point. It was small, but it was his perspective, and then people kind of came out against him for that because they were supporting AEW, you know?
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, well, you could say he... I don't know, bro. I mean, I don't think that's a real big deal, you know?
I didn't think it was a real big deal either, but they do... they're not a lot of attention to detail so far on that show, you know? So it's like... I mean, you can see the work. You know, they're doing some, like, there's just a little bit too much for some of the moves.
Yeah,
you know, you can't. I'll say this. I thought this was ridiculous. Okay, the Bucks in their match against the who they were, the best friends
last week. Yeah,
last yeah. Okay, the spot for to go to the hot tag, not the hot tag, but to go home. They put one of the Jacksons up on a guy's shoulders, and the guy got on the top rope. And you know how the Road Warriors do the clothesline? They flip the guy over?
The Doomsday Device.
The Doomsday Device. So instead of the Doomsday Device, the clothesline, one of the guys jumped off the top rope with a flying knee and kneed the Jackson kid as opposed to clothesline him. But this is details to me. And this is like, this looks ridiculous. He knees him, and the kid flips over, but he lands on his feet and starts his comeback. He no-sold it.
Right.
I'm like, that's, you know, you could do that in Mexico because that's lucha. There's a lot of stuff flying, you know, land on a few goes down. But, bro, it's like this is American style wrestling. You can't just out of nowhere do like a no-sell spot for a devastating move like that and start a comeback. So it's like, so yeah, they're not tight on the details yet, but they may change. You know, they're, bro, that's all.
Well, you got to hope. You got to hope that their agent, after the match, said, hey, don't do that again. Or right. These young bucks, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? They've got to police their own shit too, because these are young guys from the indies where that's probably normal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
As I say, yeah. Well, the indie stuff doesn't work on the main stage. Indie wrestling is in front of 200-300 fans.
Right.
You know, mainstream wrestling is in front of millions and hundreds of thousands of millions of people that are scrutinizing what they're seeing because not a lot of people are watching it. So when they're tuning in, you got to be like kind of – you kind of got to be perfect almost out there. You know, right. You're not going to be perfect, but you kind of like are thinking like, hey, my match needs to look as real as possible. That's right. Good work, you know? Right. Here's the thing. Conan, probably at his age, can't go out there and like work a match like he used to roll anything. But when Conan and Vampiro were trading punches with each other, it looked real. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so your little spot that you had on TV, you made every minute of it look real, which is what all these guys should be doing on TV. And if you think a spot might look hokey to people, I would say don't do that. There's a million other things you do in a match. Just don't do the spot that looks like it could look hokey just because you can do it. You know what I'm saying? So that'd be my advice.
When I get texts from like lapsed fans and they're giving AEW a chance, right? Wrestling's back on TNT and they know that I do the shows and whatever. So they'll reach out to me and tell me what they think about the shows. I got more complaints last week about the Lucha Bros versus Private Party and Orange Cassidy than anything I have since the show's been on the air. A lot of, at least four or five friends of mine, totally unrelated, just text me and going, this first match, it looks way too choreographed. It doesn't look real. It looks, the ref's not enforcing rules. What's going on? It's all flips and stuff like that. And that's not in their fan base bubble. It's people trying to get a chance.
It's constructive criticism. It's what it should be. You know, because like if you're like, you tell, hey, some of your fans are looking at it like this.
Yeah. Or,
you know, maybe you should do something because you have your fans that go to watch regardless. You have other people watching and they're looking at the matches and this is what they're seeing. Maybe just don't do that stuff. You know, stick to the stuff that, like, would get the new fans continue to watch, you know?
So they were mad in one match because it looked choreographed, and what else?
Orange Cassidy was just like, what the hell is
nobody
this supposed
gets
to be?
The people watch that, and they see the fans in the crowd reacting to them, and they're just still not getting it.
Right.
It's like, because they don't really know anything about the guy.
I just almost think, and, you know, that you've seen the Lucha influence in American wrestling. That's why you see so many dives, and that's why you see so many choreographed spots, because when guys were going up in the business, they were like, all right, even though it was a safer style, and they're looking at, you know, whatever Nash and Hogan and the top guys were doing, then they're watching the underneath guys, you know, and they're going, fuck, I want to do that. Yeah. And a lot of young people were influenced by that, and a lot of wrestlers. And now that style's kind of permeated American wrestling. Yeah. And one of the bad things about Mexican wrestling for Americans is that A, it looks choreographed, okay? And the other one is the, you know, just like you said, the ref doesn't really have a whole lot of say in a lucha match.
Yeah, but here's the thing too. But this is one thing you will notice if you look at it, is if you watched old 20 years ago, even though it was lucha, and when it came into WCW, right? And we were like looking, like a lot of the old school guys go, wow, we weren't looking at it going like, oh my God, this is
you had, because you had guys that taught them, like, you know, Dean Malenko and Jericho and Eddie Guerrero, that even though they were young, they were like young generals.
Not even that.
Yeah.
You had the Lucha guys come in that grew up from the first day of training, had been doing Lucha for their whole career. Okay. Right. And back then, you know, as you know, we've expanded a lot of the stuff that Lucha guys are doing. They were doing pretty basic Lucha, which still looked crazy compared to like a lot of the wrestling we did. But it never really looked like phony or choreographed. You're like, wow, these guys are just doing, because they were more solid in their work. The guys sold more. They just grew up and trained better than like the guys today. Well,
In Mexico, they were wrestling veterans that would tell them, hey, do it this way. But when they came here, they had young veterans. Like, bro, Jericho is way ahead of his time. Malenko was way ahead of his time. Yes. Eddie was way ahead of his time. You know, and so they were like, okay, when you do this, stop here. Let's make it look, and you know, Juventud and Ray and Psicosis, they listened, right?
Right.
And but now you don't have a lot of those teachers around anymore.
Right. And the guys teaching young guys. And they're doing Lucha with indie guys.
Right.
And that's
right.
What, you know, guys have learned Lucha. They learned Lucha on the indies, never really trained Lucha. You know, a lot of American wrestlers never trained Lucha. They just kind of like started doing it. Because of Resolution, you know, you can see the detail, the difference in the details. The Lucha guy, you know, Ray, Hubie, Psicosis, Garza, they were way snugger than these guys are.
Parka.
The guys today are very choreographed, helping each other. But like, you know, the Lucha back then was very snug and stiff. They hit each other, you know, chopped the shit out of each other. You know, it's like, it wasn't like it is today. It's different, you know, so.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
What up?
Yes, sir.
You know, we've been talking about Legacy Sports Nutrition Products for a while now with the boy Nick Aldis, and we know some of our K100 fans have been loyal customers. Today, I want to read you some actual reviews from real customers of LegacySubs.com on top-rated local, a verified third-party site that uses two-step authentication to verify each review. Are you ready to hear some of these reviews?
Yes.
Okay. Blake says, absolutely love the Legacy Test Stat. I feel like I have more drive and energy to power through my workouts. My sleep is also improved. Jonathan says, I was skeptical at first, but after going through my second bottle of Recovery PM, as well as testing out X-Lean, T-Assist, and Test X9, I'm a true convert. Mm. Even after the most strenuous workout days, I sleep and recover fully the next day. We'll continue to support these products going forward and look forward to anything new. And then finally, Brandon says, let's go Brandon. I've ordered from Legacy Sports many times. Their test stack is top notch. I've seen an increase in energy and stamina in the gym. The customer service is amazing, and they go above and beyond to make sure everything is right. I had an address that pre-populated wrong in an order, and I needed to change it. That's an interesting word to use, pre-populated.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed it and was changed almost immediately and sent out the next day. I even received a personal email saying that they would get that right out and appreciate it in my business. I'll be ordering from them for a long time and sending to all my friends. You will not go wrong with ordering from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Looks like Nick Aldis is probably busy babysitting the kid there and everything, and has time to answer all these personal emails. Join the thousands of people that have leveled up with Legacy. Go to LegacySups.com. That's LegacySups.com and use code K100. That's K100.
That's code K100 at LegacySups.com for 10% off.
Are you guys ready for the return of the world infamous Disco List, back by popular demand, by the way?
Boom. Ready to go.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
All right. Still under protest that this guy's not on the list, Lord Cyrus, but this guy is on the list and is part of the Canadian contingency, Lance Storm.
Still on the list.
Any heat with you since that he closed down, or are you glad that he closed his wrestling school?
Oh, very glad that he closed his wrestling school. The last thing we need is more Canadian wrestling.
Paul Security to the Stars, Lazenby.
See, still Jericho's hired goon, right?
Yeah, 1,000. Wow.
So he's on the list.
Good friend of yours who always has a lot of good things to say about you, Scott Tuggles Deal Moore.
He's on the list, but he tweeted something about – he did one of those corny tweets.
Right.
He said Eminem is like a fan of Impact Wrestling. Well, not really, but if he watched us, he would be. It's one of those tweets, you know.
Right. Should I kazoo that?
Yeah, it was a kazoo tweet for sure.
Okay. Who else do we got here? Chris, I live in a gigantic mansion and need a forklift to move my fish tank, Jericho.
He's on the list.
Yeah, he should remain on the list because he was supposed to come on and do the show in October, and October has ended. And ever since we called him that one time and ambushed him, I haven't heard back from him once.
Call him up.
You want to try to call him again?
Yeah, call him up right now.
I feel like he changed his phone number.
Dude, well, let's see if we get the answer machine.
What do you mean you feel like he changed his phone number?
Well, he
what,
hasn't. I mean, not
some sort of.
No,
I mean, do you have a back channel to him? I mean, we're going to call him. We're going to get an answer machine, right?
You get some sort of a rash. You go, I guess he changed his number.
No, just that he hasn't answered in any of the group texts or anything. I just noticed it. That's all.
Boy, he might be busy. The baby-faced assassin, all-around nice guy, and K-100 Hall of Famer, who once referred to you as a punk and a twerp, which fighting words in the 40s, Ted Irvine.
He's on the list. And have we started the process of expunging him from the Hall of Fame?
No, we have not, because we haven't had the list in a month.
Okay.
But I do know for a fact, and you have stated this publicly, that if you and him ever see each other, it's go time on site.
Gloves drop.
Okay. Lad Storm's daughter, Rebecca Evers, who threw shade on you at the on Twitter.
She'll stay on the list for that for a long time.
All right. The North Kakalaki contingency.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Jericho. This is Disco and Conan and Joe Feeney. We're here recording Keeping It 100. You were supposed to come on our show in October. We're at the end of October. You did not come on our show. Come on our show, you piece of crap.
Whoa.
Okay? Like, you basically, you're a liar and a fraud if you don't come on our show. All right? So come on the show and don't go back on your word, you jerk.
All right. Matt Hardy, Jeff, Maxell, Wolfgang, the unborn baby boy, Rebby, Senor Benjamin, and Shane Helms.
All those rednecks are still on the list.
Wait a minute. Even the kid that hasn't been born yet?
Has it been born?
Has it been born yet? No. Has it? Well, Joe, you know?
I don't think so. Any born Hardy or unborn
soon
Hardy.
To be born. Right.
Or even like a Hardy that is in the, you know, like maybe if Rebby and Matt are having a few drinks tonight and getting romantic, yeah. I'm going to preemptively, if they consummate and she becomes pregnant again, I'm putting that embryo on the list.
Wow.
Lord.
All right. Jimmy Jacobs, blue fingernails and purple toenails.
Are they still that color or does he have different colors?
No, he always changes them.
To what colors?
Sometimes peach, silver, like the whole gamut.
But never blue. Clear. It's always got a color?
Never been, yeah. Always got a color.
As long as there's color, there is it's any color, it's on the list.
Right. Mark Madden with the genius IQ.
He just got out of the hospital. He had gallbladder surgery. He was in bad shape there.
Ooh, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. Well, you hope he gets well?
That doesn't take him off the list, right?
Of course not.
Right. Do you hope that he doesn't get enough pain medication, is in constant pain?
he had to cancel his Vegas trip.
Right.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
Which made you unhappy because he usually pays.
He was telling me like when he was in Vegas the last time, he said he had heartburn. And that's when he kept having bad heartburn. And so he went in and he had to have gallbladder surgery, removed his gallbladder.
Right.
But that doesn't take.
Do you wish him a speedy recovery or no?
I mean, I think he is recovered. But right. since the list was not around while he was going through this,
yeah.
I mean, let me point out that it wouldn't have changed anything. He still would have remained on the list.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Even though he thought he might die by going under anesthesia, but that's still, if you think you're going to die, that does not take you off the list.
All right.
Even that.
That's harsh.
Is that insensitive?
That's rough. That's real rough.
Fear of not waking up after an operation does not get you off the list. Vince Russo, his singing, his Twitter follower, his paintings, and the puppet.
All on the list.
I think
now,
he's
you
gonna...
told me the puppet didn't talk, but when he came on the show, he was pretty verb. He was pretty loquacious. What a tremendous word.
I'm going to try and force him to on the air.
Burn the puppet?
Or throw it in the garbage.
It is unauthorized use of your likeness.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, right. I know lawyers.
To make fun of me.
Exactly.
The conspiracy horseman. These are the guys that believe the Earth is flat, correct?
Well, no, they think the Russian Viz is a good source of information.
Jeez.
Ben Heyman, Stevie Richards, Papa Don, and what's the other guy's name?
Big Sally Graziano.
They're on the list.
Yeah.
Well, if they think he's a good source of information, then they should remain on the list because the next guy is Russian Viz himself.
He's brutal.
Russian Viz.
Oh, he's on the list for sure. He's an idiot, that guy.
Horrible.
He keeps. You know the funny thing about it. is that he's misinterpreting like a lot of, I mean, he thinks that I'm like one of these media sheep that just believes everything I read in the media.
Right.
Okay. Which definitely I'm not. I think a lot of the media is definitely delivering narratives and stuff like that. But I specifically, you know, he's on the list for trying to claim that for the asinine that he's not relenting on, by the way. Okay, I got a great story for you here. Okay? So, you know, he's big into the Sandy Hook crisis right. actors and stuff and all that. Bro, there's a girl that's one of the dancers at our club, right? She was outed. They thought she was a crisis actor. Because wow. like 10 years ago, she was on like a Dr. Phil show or something like that for something completely unrelated. And when the Vegas shooting happened,
yeah,
they managed to, they interviewed her and they tried to correlate that. She was like, yeah, like they thought I was a crisis actor. Like if people were talking about me on Reddit and stuff and everything. All that. And she goes, that's because I was on like Dr. Phil like 10 years ago.
Well, that's you know? What, well,
so, right.
Well, that's what I've always said, that that what they do, it's almost like if you ever read like the horoscope, at the end of the day, they, you know, like they use the same thing for every person, except right. for every month, except they'll change the words around. Right?
Right.
And so it's the same thing, bro. If you're doing a conspiracy theory, you just get the flimsiest thing that is true. And then you start surrounding it with other bullshit, you know, right. so it has some modicum of truth. And like, I'll give you an example, that Sandy Hook thing. So remember that, you know, Alex Jones had said that it was a hoax and he made fun of them. And yeah. then they brought him to court and he yep. tried to recant everything.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, and so he had this, he sent a video to us. I watched a little bit of it. And I think it had Alex Jones on it. It had the fucking Russian vids on it. Did you see that?
I haven't.
Yeah. And I was just thinking to myself, bro, you know that he's one of the guys that believes that Sandy Hook, the Russian vids guy, that he believes that was all bullshit and crisis right. actors and all that. And I'm like, bro, one of the guys that started perpetuating all that was Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's under, you can read the transcript where they're asking him about all this stuff. And he's like recanting and backpedaling and apologizing. And he didn't mean to say it. Oh,
right.
You know, you came out and you said it.
Well, let me tell you this, too. This to get back, wrap around here, why Russian vids started getting heat with us and attacking us. Okay. He calls us the two goofs on Keeping 100, the two goons.
Right.
And he said, and you know what? He's such a conspiracy theorist that he thought that we were paying Graham Boston to try to get him kicked off Twitter. Like, he called Graham Boston our hired goon.
Whatever happened to that weirdo?
He's still follows us. He messaged me sometimes.
Yeah.
But I will say this, is that Russian vids, categorically and specifically, tried to say that Vince McMahon knew about 9/11
right.
like 13 years before it happened because he had a tag team called the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like... I mean, okay. You got to be really digging deep there, you know, right. to try to believe that. You know,
bro,
what I'm saying?
Don't you remember this thing where I had a Marcus Allen jersey that said 33?
Yeah, he said there's yeah. Conan, yep. 33. There's yeah. Conan doing the 33 number.
Yep. You know,
oh, and I had the NWO shirt on.
Yeah,
and he was saying that the Illuminati was making me wear the NWO shirt to go out on TV to promote the NWO.
Which I believe the Illumination came to your defense. Nothing. Okay.
That guy's great.
Pat Simon
just to reiterate, Russian Vince is an idiot. Okay?
What the wow. Have you ever seen him? Did you see him in the video?
I've never seen him.
Bro, he looks like a goofball.
Yeah,
Pat Simon Diamond.
Let's call him up. can you get him on the phone?
I can call try. I can attempt.
First of all, he posted a tweet today.
Who came up with the...
How many weeks has he been running his mouth about Notre Dame? How many times does he come on the show and run his mouth about Notre Dame?
All the time.
Every
Do you know
time.
What he said now on Twitter?
What?
On Saturdays now, I don't care about Notre Dame anymore. I care more about playing with my kids. It's because he lost. Right? Can you call him up. Call this jerk.
This, by the way. Let me see. Who else do we got here? Marcus Everett.
Kid wins flat.
One thou wow.
Stone list.
By the one, the thing that Joe put on Twitter is not a splat.
The Mulkey brothers.
Quit heading up my Instagram. Is this a splat? Is this a splat that are clearly not splats?
Who does that? Just random people?
Yeah, random people.
We're trying Pat now.
JoJo Feeney, the Creative Control Network, the Pro Wrestling Tea Store, his room, and being co-host of Raven Show.
Oh, the Raven Effect. Yeah.
That's on the list. So it's obnoxious.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Okay, and it's like, and here's the thing. The Creative Control Network literally
Pat Kenny.
What are you doing, Joe?
Oh, did he hang up?
We were going to leave him a message.
Yeah.
It's calling back. Go ahead.
Right.
Well, it'll take a minute, so you can keep.
Well, keep talking, Conan.
Well, okay. you were saying about the.
What was I talking about?
The Raven Effect.
Oh no! All those are on the list. You were talking about what a great get Mike Durbin is for your network.
Yeah, I mean, there's a top three of shows. All right, with downloads.
Mike
on the Creative Control
Network.
Mike
Durbin sent me a tank top to Sapphire.
He sent you a tank top.
Okay, yeah, to try to get an olive branch.
Please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yo, Pat, I'm going to keep this real short and sweet. Let me see if my memory serves me correct. Michigan 45, Notre Dame 14. Boom. Hit him, D.I.
Yeah, you got to come on and explain that. All right? You've been running your mouth for 2 to 3 years on this show about Notre Dame football, how relevant they are. And you need to explain your tweet today about how since Notre Dame lost, you don't care about Notre Dame football anymore. You're DVRing them and playing with your kids. That's unacceptable.
What a bandwagon fan. Yeah.
You're a fraud, all right? So you need to come out and explain yourself. All right, that's enough.
So what were you saying about the Mike Durbin tank top?
He sent it to me as an olive branch because he wants me to come on his show.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, now that he's on the Creative Control Network, the reach of the show is going to be much larger. Before, it was behind the paywall on the brand. So now, if you do the show, a lot more people will probably hear you.
So now instead of 4 people listening to a 5, nothing?
I'm saying he could crack. There's a top 3 of shows on the Creative Control Network.
Yeah, he could crack 20 listeners.
He could crack
a
top 3.
So here we go to who is the next Shark Boy?
Oh, he's still on the list.
Bro, is there more heat on him because his son was homecoming king or no? With the
allegedly, yeah. Says he done him for alleging that his kid was the homecoming king. When obviously didn't look good enough to be the homecoming king.
All right, Raven in a stand-up comedy.
If you want to call it that? That's on the list.
Joe thinks he's funny.
Yeah, he laughs at everything he says.
Oh yeah, we have a great time together.
He said he was his Ed McMahon.
Do you have any clips from that show to play, Joe? Like anything funny that you can show evidence that Raven's evidence? Funny and yeah.
I don't have anything at my fingertips here, but I'm sure I could find several clips. It's a very funny show.
Joy DeFalco.
That little bastard, he's on the list.
Like, for instance, last week on the Raven Effect, we were talking about the Mandela Effect, and Raven wondered what it would be like if it was actually the Howie Mandel Effect. So as you can see, we have a real good time.
Oh,
over
my
there.
God. Wait. I don't want to hear no clips, bro. You are sad. That was absolutely terrible. It's bad enough you try to put over ham and eggers we've never heard, like Durbin and Hambone and the other goofball. And now you're trying to put over bad comedy. Come on. Burning Man Man. Boom.
Oh, you mean the guy that went to the Burning Man Festival and thought he was the actual Burning Man and was on fentanyl, flaca, bath salts, and shrooms?
What a schmuck.
And ran into the fire and burned to death? That guy?
And Sherm, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he's on the list.
Jay George.
He's on the list. Do we have anything from these guys?
No. Didn't they
hear that we did not cancel Disco List Wrestling? We actually had a 3-way dance set up, didn't we? The Illumination against Jay George against what's his name?
Well, you got Mitch Valentine, you got
tell the next guy, Conan.
Jay George.
He's on the list.
Mitch Valentine.
He's on the list. Is Mitch Valentine was supposed to work Jay George in the Illumination?
Yeah, and what's the MMA fighter guy's name? I'm drawing a fucking blank right now.
I don't know who that is.
You know who he is. He always used to send in the videos and
the guy that wanted to fight you until you found out he was an MMA guy, and then all of a sudden you weren't interested.
Yeah, we're in different weight divisions.
I doubt it. So here's a new thing with Joe. You have to fly to his house in Philadelphia, okay? And you have to be in his weight division, okay?
Right.
So for all of you guys out there, Mike Beltran's mustache, the ref from UFC.
Stonewist. He's on that show, that Mayans.
The Mayans,
show,
yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous that they have a biker gang member refereeing UFC fights. I mean, think about that.
How's his acting ability, though? He could be a pretty good actor.
Yeah, well, he's got that mustache that drags all over the ground. That's just unprofessional. So, Tuckett, you know what? I wonder if he ever gets fired from UFC because they try to make him shave his mustache.
I just thought it was hilarious now that I've seen him that he has to tuck it in.
Here's the thing.
I wonder if they told him, hey, look, you have to cut it off. And he was like, no, I'm not going to cut it off. I'm just going to tuck it in.
This would be a very simple concept for this guy to understand is that, you know, if you want to make some money, right, shave your mustache, but sell the clip-on version. And just wear the clip-on version, and people will buy – you probably have people to buy the clip-on version of his mustache. And he can take it off and do the UFC fights with it, with it off, and just put it back on after the show. Like Mr. Wrestling number 2 with the clip-on tie and the clip we saw last week against the Assassin. We had the clip-on tie.
Yeah. Jeff Lane's room.
Oh, my God, with all the toys and stuff.
Yeah.
Jeff Lane's a grown man, and he's one of these guys on Twitch, having people on Twitch watch him play video games. And he's got toys in his room.
How old is Jeff?
Like 40 years old.
Yeah, he's older than me anyway.
Yeah.
Kevin Kleinrock, Triple A, and Aero Lucha.
Those are still on the list.
Extra, he's not being on the show this week.
What about Aero Lucha?
Huh? No. I haven't heard nothing from them in a while.
Yeah, why are they still on? I mean, why is Kleinrock still saying that?
Because I think he knows that it upsets you when he says it. Right, and that's why he's on the list. Ryan Satin and his girlfriend Erica Steiner.
They're still always be on the list.
Is he? You think he'll return to the show for? I mean, our holiday party episode is going to be coming up before you know it, and he was on last year.
He's always welcome on the show.
Yeah.
Independent New Japan, Mexican, and women's wrestling.
All those are still on the list.
Seth Rollins' rib.
It used to be his knee. Now it's his rib. Still can't sell either one of them. Still on the list.
WWE Creative.
Oh God, they're still on the list. They're on the list. But they're trying.
Right. But they're still on the list.
Right.
X-Pac.
He's on the list.
Right. Making fun of you on Twitter with Shane Helms saying you are a special needs kid, right?
Podcast, yeah. Right. To thousands of people, yeah.
I never got an apology. Meltzer rating system.
With all the stars?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Still on the list. Bro, let me tell you something. Those guys, the Dirt Sheet guys have really – it's really fake. They're doing a lot of fake news narratives, you know, because they go beyond overboard to defend AEW every week with the ratings and stuff. Like, oh, look at the demographics. Like, the ratings have dropped every week, right?
Yeah.
But they'll point out the demographics. SmackDown this week was on a different station. It wasn't even on Fox. It was on FS1, which has like a third less homes than Fox does. So obviously, and it's like up against the World Series, and so it's obviously a throwaway week. But they just can't help calling it a throwaway week for ratings. They still had to try to analyze how low it was and stuff, because they're still trying to build AEW up against them. They're not, bro. These guys are not just reporting the facts; they're reporting narratives, and their narratives don't. You know, I'm sorry, but their narratives are not. They're not educated narratives. It's like, look, it's a throwaway week. Let's wait till next week before you have any comment about this week's rating on WWE's SmackDown show. It's ridiculous, you know, because if that was AEW. And AEW had to go on True TV. That would have been they were on True TV this week.
Well, they tried.
That's what they, you know, come on.
The second week when they were some preempted in some homes, and they were on True TV due to a baseball game, I believe that was already a defense.
Yeah, they're blaming the baseball game. So come on, guys, you gotta be consistent, you know, with your criticisms here, you know, come on.